Hello and welcome to Legends of the Dark Knight. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in this adventure into Neo-Gotham is...
DFJ and Mike, hello.
Good day, sir.
How are you?
Doing fairly well. On this nice, dark evening.
God, you so missed a pun right there. Nice, dark night. Dark night, see? There you go.
You shut up with your superstitious and cowardly lot.
No, that's not till next week.
I know that.
That's actually how I'm going to open the episode. When I do the editing for it. Oh, that's right. So what have you been up to since the last time we did one of these things?
Altered Geek.
Went live.
Yes, I actually got that to work this time because there's a hidden setting inside YouTube. And then I just discovered that there's another geek convention that's local to me, but I probably won't be able to make it, unfortunately. And because it's so short notice, and it's got Rob Paulson.
Oh, geez.
And it's like a 45-minute drive, too.
How much is it?
Depends on if I can get in.
Well,
I'm saying, like, as a press.
Oh, well, okay, but how
it's,
much
it's
is
on
it
a weekend.
To... Uh-huh.
And I think my wife works. And I'm already taking Grand Con, which is 2 weeks later on a weekend. And then I'm still attempting, despite my best efforts with my wife, and then my wife dragging my mom into the situation, to go to TFCon.
DFCon Chicago, yeah. So since the last episode, I believe in episode 33 I mentioned the new arc in the ongoing digital comic series Batman Beyond 2.0/ Batman Beyond Universe, that they started the Mark of the Phantasm arc. And basically, for anyone that doesn't know, Batman Beyond 2.0 takes place in between... it takes place after the events of Return of the Joker. So it's after the series has ended and after Return of the Joker, but it seems like it's before Epilogue. So that's where they're building all kinds of new stories and tying all kinds of continuity into it. The story has just been fantastic so far. Just absolutely fantastic. So,
yeah, I've been reading it as well. I'm actually quite amazed.
I wasn't sure if it was going to be who I thought it was going to be under the mask, but it was.
I was quite happy to see that, actually.
I actually had between, because right now, as of this recording and airing of, well, as of this recording, this coming Saturday, issue 30 comes out, but as of this recording, issues 28 and 29 have been out, and they've kind of teased around the whole fact of, it, is this the Phantasm, the original one from the movie, or is this somebody new? And after reading issue 28, I kind of had a really, really weird, so mind-blowing to me that I could not even write it in my issue 28 review. I originally thought, because they didn't really say what happened to Barbara and Grayson as far as her being pregnant, what I thought might have happened is she had the kid, gave it up, it turned to villainy, and it was the Phantasm. But thankfully, they did not go as sick as my mind can go. And they went, you know, towards, you know, more continuity-based things. Very, very awesome. Absolutely loving that book. Oh, man. One of the best comics out right now. But we are here to talk about the next 5 episodes of Batman Beyond. We actually, in this one, we will end Season 2 and begin the first episode of Season 3. So, very, very cool.
Yep, yep.
So shall we head to a galaxy far, far away?
It's not a galaxy, but yeah, let's go.
Danger, danger, podcast beginning.
Move, Corey. How'd you bag it?
Gotta go with your instincts.
Good instincts? You just bagged the all-time high score.
Yes!
No fair. You must have logged a gazillion hours on that game.
Maybe more. But for the first time, I really felt it, you know? Like I actually was a sentry of the last cosmos.
All right, first up today, or tonight, is Sentries of the Last Cosmos. George Lucas is going to sue somebody.
So you're saying he's right. Got some splaining to do?
Yeah. So, Sentries of the Last Cosmos is the... It depicts the arrival of a trio of teenagers literally enacting the events of a VR game. The top three players of Sentries of the Last Cosmos are called together by Simon Harper, the creator of the game, convinced that the game is not just a game, but reality. They are granted actual flaming swords and flying discs, believing they are actually helping out the side of good. They begin sabotaging parts of Gotham. Worst of all, these players are also so good that even Batman is hard-pressed to stop them. I like this episode. It was a fun episode. But it is riddled with geek. It's like they basically spilled their geek DNA on this episode, seriously, because you've got a million Star Wars references. You've got a reference to Lost in Space. I like it. I think it's cool. I think the animation is great. The music is interesting, but it just goes to show you that it's a little strange how these plots do come about. A couple of notes I had, Carter and the composing crew really do know how to craft the music, especially mixing the music that happens during the Sentry scenes with the overall style of the Batman Beyond music. I know Gotham has grown in 50 years, but having two giant manor estates just seems weird to me. We've got Wayne Manor on the outskirts of Gotham, kind of, and we've got, Skycroft, or Sentrycroft, which is essentially a playoff of Skywalker Ranch.
Nice.
Yeah, and as soon as I saw Simon Harper energizing his hands, I'm like, oh, there's Emperor Palpatine. I didn't even need the trivia to tell me that that's what they were referencing.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Who's dark side?
What did you like about this one?
I think it's kind of neat that they kind of made everything kind of take place with using the virtual reality kind of mentality with it, and then the fact that it's using gamers to do it. So I don't know. It's kind of different. We haven't really had a storyline like this. I mean, the closest I would almost argue is almost like the Grey Ghost toy maker type thing, if you mix that with like the episode with the Riddler where he's in virtual reality.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, yeah, because this plays off of, well, we kind of have had episodes like this because we've seen VR before in Batman Beyond with Spellbinder and stuff, even though this isn't the VR room, you know, the hover VR stuff. I mean, they actually have VR masks on. But no, I liked it. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was interesting starting off an episode where you hear Terry and Max's voices, but it's not their character models because they're playing a video game. Some people might get thrown, but other people might not by that. I kind of did a little bit, but after a while I realized, oh, right, it's a game. They're doing VR, which I thought it was really, really cool. So there is way too much trivia to list here. You know, I already mentioned about the robot that Eldon Michaels has as a tribute. It's a tribute to Lost in Space. They reused the camera. Harper's Sentry uses the same camera as used in The Last Resort and Sneak Peek. The concept of the video game's high score being a test is to see if anyone was worthy to fight in an actual war was also used in the movie The Last Starfighter. Eldon's prized possession is a typewriter that belonged to Philip K. Dick, author of the science fiction stories that inspired the films Blade Runner and Minority Report, among others. The funny thing about this is when Terry sees it, he asks if it's a word processor, suggesting that it is obsolete in this era.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, Terry's a smart guy, but Terry, like, this, like, you know, right now in 2014, we are living in the digital age. It's not as high tech as what is in Batman Beyond, but I mean, we're pretty much on the cusp of the digital age. And, you know, teenagers and young kids, unless parents raise them right, they're not going to know what the hell a typewriter is, a 8-track tape is, a cassette, a CD, a VHS, you know. So, yeah, I kind of thought that was really funny.
I mean, I grew up with a typewriter and a word processor because it was more so a punishment for my parents, too. Mm-hmm. They were like, nope, you're not using the computer. You're doing it the old school way, you little. But, yeah.
Did you know that? Do you know who voiced Eldon Michaels? Without looking.
Mm-mm.
Patton Oswalt.
You know, I almost kind of suspected it, but I have to hand in my geek card on that one.
Yeah, he was also a character. He also voiced a character called Specs in The New Kid in Static Shock. Overall, Sentry's the Last Cosmos, it's very awesome. It is a really cool episode. I really do dig it. It was something different that, like, remember I said, I think it was last episode or it might have been in episode 32. I know I've said it since we started the series, that season 2 is kind of like they wanted to move away from the corporate world and do more things regarding to Terry and school and everything else. This is kind of a break from that. And I think it helps Terry as Batman to do these kinds of missions. And actually, he doesn't always have to win. It's nice when Terry gets a one-up on somebody, but you don't win if you don't make any mistakes. You don't always win if you don't make mistakes. Sometimes you have to make mistakes in order to learn and then go forward.
No, I get that.
So I think we are going to move on to the next episode.
Is anyone else from the center connected to Payback?
I don't know. I can't get into their computer. It's not on the net.
Great. So much for that lead.
You know, we did do detective work before there was a net.
He hasn't called me in a week.
You're better off without him.
How can you say that?
Duane cheated on you, Trina. Lied to you, too.
Duane loves me.
Will you say something?
How about we let Trina work things out at her own speed? Now, before time runs out, we have a new member to meet. Terry McGinnis.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hi.
Terry, why don't you tell us about yourself?
What do you want to know, Dr. Stanton?
Well, for starters, what brings you here?
Nothing special.
So everything's perfect in your life? Maybe you don't belong here at the center.
No, I do, really.
What's your problem, then?
I guess you could say my problem's not a what, it's a who.
It sounds to me like Mr. Wayne really does respect you, but that he has a hard time showing it.
Why do you think that is?
Maybe some trauma in his past, I don't know. But if he keeps getting on your nerves, quit. It's only an after-school job.
Actually, it's a little more than that.
Oh, close one!
So you got your own virtual arcade, huh?
This is just one of Howard's hobbies. He does all our video work. He's pretty much of a genius. And here's the other resident genius. My son, Kenny.
Dad, you want to play?
Can't right now. But say hello to Terry McGinnis. He's new here.
Hi.
And this is Howard Lewis, Terry.
McGinnis?
Maybe we can play tonight? Or go to a movie?
I'd love to, but...
But you gotta work late. You always say that.
Kenny, there are so many kids with problems. Big problems. I wouldn't be much of a doctor if I didn't do everything I could to help them.
Dr. Stanton, there's a young lady down in reception. Says she needs to see you right away. An emergency.
Did you get her name?
Maxine Gibson.
Well, she's not a patient, but if it's an emergency, you'll have to see yourself out, Terry.
Next up is Payback. A masked vigilante stalks the streets of Gotham, brutally attacking people who have wronged teenagers in various ways. Though he claims that he's doing this for a good cause, Batman can't allow him to continue. Meanwhile, tensions start to build up between Bruce and Terry as Bruce is becoming more scornful of Terry's mistakes, and Terry, annoyed with his criticism, soon Bruce becomes a target of Payback as well.
I like this episode. It's interesting, but it's not... it feels like the last resort. It feels like this and the last resort should have come after one another because they're essentially the same episode. Kind of. I mean, in last resort, we had Chelsea going into the juvenile hall kind of thing, and this kind of reminds me of that because it's, you know, it's group and it's, you know, all these kids complaining about their parents. I will say the very first time I ever saw this episode, I'm like, hey, it's the Phantasm. Because Payback's costume does slightly, it's a slight redesign on what the Phantasm looked like a little bit. It's Phantasm inspired, I'll say that. Let's see. And this episode's, I've seen this kind of plot where the kid of the doctor, the kid of the parent that's working the most is the one that eventually, it's just way too standard.
Yeah, I kind of agree. The story was almost kind of transparent in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I mean, it's... I mean, they're trying to hit at the teenager kind of level. So, it's, you know, I get it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I understand that. I'm just saying, for my liking, we kind of already had something like this in Last Resort. So, I just didn't really care to have this one here. There is only two bits of trivia. One is the villainess's DD wielded whips similar to Payback's, an energy whip, and then Once in Future Thing Part 2, Time Warped, which is in Justice League. We have... oh no, seriously? We have one of the guys that, we have Mitch Pileggi, who, he voices Dr. Stanton, but he also currently stars in Dallas on TNT, which is where I know him from, but that's kind of interesting to hear him as a voice actor here. The other bit of continuity, or the other bit of trivia, has to deal with the other... when Terry went after Howard Lewis, Terry was closer to capturing Payback than he knew. Both characters were voiced by the same actor, Bulkhead from Transformers Animated.
Ah, Bill...
Fagerbakke.
Yes.
Yep. Very, very awesome. This one isn't too many... it isn't something to write home about, honestly. It was an okay episode. It's probably gonna be, might end up being the lowest one on the totem pole today for me. But other than that, I don't know. Any final thoughts for you?
I mean, it's kind of your typical throwaway episode. I don't necessarily hate it or anything, but it's not, I kind of agree, it's kind of bleh.
We are going to move on because Terry's missing after this.
He's not sick, Max. I just called his house and he hasn't been there all day.
All day? Maybe Mr. Wayne had an emergency. You know how old people are.
But why wouldn't he call?
Dana, I gotta go. Somebody's here.
If it's Terry.
Yeah, I will.
Where's Terry?
I haven't seen him since last night.
Where was he?
Down the street at the subway station.
Go home.
Listen, I could be very valuable to you. In fact, I've already been very valuable. More times than I can count.
I said, go home.
Make me.
Next up is, where's Terry? After Terry spots Ollie in the subway station, he heads off after him and subsequently disappears. His disappearance doesn't go unnoticed, and Maxine and Bruce team up, in spite of reluctance on Bruce's part, in order to find him. Meanwhile, Batman finds himself lost in a series of underground tunnels with only a young runaway, Dak, to help him find a way out. Things get even more complicated when Shriek realizes that Batman's in the tunnels and traps him in a dead end.
Yep.
I kind of like this episode only because it takes Bruce out of his element.
Oh, absolutely.
He's not in the cave, and I think this is kind of the start of him not being in the cave. I mean, other than the episode with Ink, mm-hmm. where he came out with the Batsuit, mm-hmm. I think this is kind of another start of several episodes that will come where he kind of ventures out of the cave to actually do something.
Absolutely.
Which is nice to see him, despite the fact that he's 70-some or 80-some years old. It's nice to see him actually in action.
Well, I mean, he was in action in Payback because he went to that hotel opening, the Vreeland hotel opening, and that's how Payback got to him, was in that elevator. So, I mean, he's been out.
But it shows him actually like traversing towards danger instead of just being there.
Oh, right. Yeah. I love that switcheroo. Hey, is that, shouldn't you fellas go stop that young lady? I love that. Cause he said that he was going to be the distraction for her. And then he basically flipped the script on her. I thought that was great. I love Where's Terry because it's something we don't often see in this series. Like, we know that, okay, at night, Terry is Batman. During the day, he goes to school and deals with his home life and whatever else. And I think they needed to do this episode because they needed to do this one because unless you show Terry's mom and brother, the audience is going to forget that they're even there. So I'm really glad that they did do this. I honestly wish there was a little bit more with Terry and his brother, like in the series overall.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of get that. It's just, I don't know. I'm just happy to see Bruce doing something, and I like the fact that he's having to, of the unlikely pair of having to team with Max.
Yeah.
I mean, his family, honestly, I care less about, like, Terry's.
Yeah.
To me, it's him and Bruce for the most part.
Yeah. No, yeah, but yes, I agree with that, and it is Terry's series, but you also, because Bruce is there and he's the mentor and everything else, I get that, but Terry does have his own life. Terry does have his own family, and we're not to the point yet where we find out that, shocker, Bruce Wayne is his real father. But it's just one of those things where they added those characters in, and I wish that they would use them just a little bit more. At least a brother. The mom, not so much, but at least a brother. So for trivia, we have this marks Shriek's last appearance in the series. He later makes a cameo in the Justice League Unlimited episode epilogue. The full effectiveness of Bruce's new interrogation techniques is revealed in the Justice League Unlimited episode The Once and Future Thing Part 2, Time Warped. The T's make a second and last appearance since their debut in Joyride. And Dak mentions Blight, Spellbinder, and the Royal Flush Gang. For voice actors, we have Michael Rosenbaum was Ollie, one of the T's, so that was interesting. And we have Eli Marienthal as Dak, so that's pretty cool. Overall, I like this episode. Again, I like the whole mystery of it as far as, oh, where's Terry and everything else. So really, really enjoy that. We are going to move on to the next one, unless you got anything else.
Nope.
All right, now it's time to pull the ace out of the hole. Next is quite possibly my favorite episode of the entire series. I know I've had a few favorites here, but this one really surprised me when I watched it again because I haven't watched it in a long time. I watched it a few months ago, but before then I hadn't watched it in a long time, and I wasn't sure, just by looking at the title, I wasn't sure if it was going to be dealing with what it's dealing with. But Ace in the Hole, this one has... we've got, it shows the origin of Bruce Wayne's faithful dog, Ace. I love this one. This does everything I wanted it to do with having Terry feeling guilty about, not necessarily letting Ace get loose, but I mean, Ace basically broke free of him because Ace saw a guy that he knew from his past. And then we see Ace's journey, through his eyes. And what is so heartbreaking about this is one of the scenes where Terry is still looking for Ace, and he flies right by him. It's really, really awesome. And Ace, I mean, we knew Ace was fearless, but we haven't really seen him in action. Like, we've seen him in Rebirth with coming up to Terry and growling and everything else. And, of course, by now, Terry's used to him, and he's used to Terry. But, I mean, Ace is about as fearless as Bruce was as Batman, even when the guy shoots. I mean, when the guy shoots at Ace, he's just running right towards him.
Which is why he's the Bat-Hound.
Yep. The music in the episode is so good. I love the tones after Ace escapes the police raid, and he's wandering the streets. The animation has never been better as well. And Ace is a puppy. It was like, oh my god, to die for. What did you think of this one?
Well, for one, this is probably the first animal one I've actually approved of.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Ace. It shows, for one, that Bruce, you know, can at least have some kind of a friend.
Mm-hmm.
As weird as it is that it just happens to be a dog. It's funny that, you know, Bruce refers to him as he's a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's, I don't know. It's nice to see that Bruce can still care.
Yeah.
Because by the end of all the other series, pretty much, or the other sagas, you can kind of tell that he's kind of not really there anymore. As far as, you know, I approve of this particular version of having an animal in an episode. And I think it's cool that Ace actually gets to kick ass.
Yeah, I actually wish that...
Jaws of Steel.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my god, he basically ripped the cage. He tried to rip the cage bar off when he was in the dog cage. He tried to bite the... Yeah, Ace is just awesome. I really wish that they would have done more with him. I really, really do. I absolutely love Ace. As far as continuity trivia and all that bit, the growth hormone Cerastone was the agent that transformed small-time crook Charlie Bigelow into the villain Big Time in Big Time. So that'll be coming up in a couple of weeks, or a couple of episodes, I should say. This episode establishes that Ace is a Dane mix. Ronnie trained Ace in a back room of the criminals only stacked deck. So there's that. Voice actors. Bill Smithrovich is Ronnie Boxer. Not too many other... Here's the thing. I heard, and I'm not sure where exactly this is, but I heard at one point they were, I think this was for Return of the Joker, when they used Ace in that they had one of the producers or animators' dogs bark and roll around, even though this credits Frank Welker as being the dog barks for Ace. But I could have sworn Bruce Timm had said at one point in one of the commentaries that it wasn't actual, like, an actual guy playing with his dog to get him to bark. I mean, it's fine if it is Frank Welker. I have no problem with it. But I wish I could remember where that was so I could get a little bit more clarification on it. So, I think we're going to move on to the last episode of the day after this.
Where's Table 5's meatloaf?
Reportedly been abducted. Officials refuse to comment, but inside sources say that the notorious Royal Flush Gang may be involved. Long the scourge of Gotham, the gang has most recently been involved in a number of art heists around town. As of this moment, there have been no ransom demands.
You okay, Mel?
Police are intensifying their search
I
for
need
the
some
missing
air.
CEO.
Can I get that to go?
Look, I haven't talked to my parents in months. I had nothing to do with that Powers business.
I know. But if you should hear anything...
I won't. As far as they're concerned, I don't exist.
I'm sorry.
Wait! You remember that note I gave you? The one for Terry McGinnis? Did he...
Yeah. He got it.
I guess I don't exist to him either.
All right, last up today is King's Ransom. It is the third season premiere of Batman Beyond. It also depicts the last appearance of the Royal Flush Gang and Paxton Powers. After a job to steal art for Paxton Powers goes sour, King decides to kidnap Powers for ransom. Dun, dun, dun.
Ha, ha, ha.
What?
No, just the fact that he thinks people actually care about him.
Hold on a second, stupid thing. I gotta edit this. There we go. Alright, what is that? 40-50 second setup point. After his father was blighted, what else? You know, I'm really surprised that they didn't show Paxton again this entire rest of the season, because if he's supposed to be the president of Wayne Powers, because we know Bruce can't handle it.
Not yet, anyway.
Well,
we all have to die sometime.
Not today, Galvatron. Anyway, I do really like this one. I like how, you know, they bring back in Melanie and we see that she's at, you know, out on her own, away from the rest of the gang. And what is really cool about this is she's still working at that same diner, Decker's, or whatever it's called. She's still working there in the Batman Beyond comics that Kyle Higgins is doing now. And I know coming up, I think either at the end of the current arc, Mark of the Phantasm, or the beginning of the next new arc, that she and Terry are going to be dating.
Oh, no. It's crook time.
Let's see, what kind of notes did I have for King's Ransom? Okay, this isn't like a mark against it, but it is just something I do kind of miss. You know, while I love Terry as Batman in the new Batsuit, him crashing through skylights as Batman doesn't have the same effect on me as Bruce did it in Batman, as Batman in BTAS. I guess I missed the cape.
Yeah, there's something to be said for having that particular accessory to the costume. Even though in The Incredibles they say no capes. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. I totally agree with you. I think that without having the cape, there's a lot of the costume part that just doesn't quite work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, jumping through the skylight or busting through a wall, or, you know, it's part of the cape is a part of the theatrics of it. I mean, granted, mm-hmm. Terry's suit is more functional,
yeah,
than Bruce's, and is more in tune for this time. Yeah. But I do miss the cape, and the ears are a little long.
I was waiting for you to do that. You know, the thing is, Terry's wings, they sometimes, I've seen him use them functionally as a cape a little bit. It's just, you know, I compare this scene where he jumps in through the skylight, I compare this to Old Wounds, you know, where Joker says something about, why are you always crashing through skylights? I guess you must like picking glass out of your shorts, or, you know, something like that. And it reminds me of that scene, but it just doesn't have the same meaning because, as you said, the theatrics of the cape and all this and all that. But overall, I mean, I do really enjoy this one. I do wish that the Royal Flush Gang, at least Melanie, was back a little bit later. Let's see. For continuity, according to Queen, Melanie deserted the gang after the events of Once Burned. Also, Melanie asks Batman if Terry got the note she gave him in that episode. Terry tossed it into the garbage without reading it, but Melanie is unaware of that. Paxton's arrest leaves a power vacuum at the top of Wayne Powers, which allows Bruce to reestablish control of the company at some unspecified point in the future in Batman Beyond Return of the Joker. Barbara makes a humorous reference about Derek Powers' radioactive condition, which was contracted in Rebirth Part 1, and revealed to the public in Ascension. For trivia, we have Terry's line, whites of their eyes, is a part of the famous historical quote usually attributed to Colonel William Prescott before the Battle of Bunker Hill during the American Revolutionary War. Parker Stevenson replaces Carrie Elwes as the voice of Paxton Powers. Angie Harmon replaces Stockard Channing as the voice of Barbara Gordon. Another case in which the jealous female in a criminal relationship inadvertently leads Batman of the era to their man's hideout by confronting the latter is in Justice League episode Wild Cards. Another story dealing with Royal Flush Gang simply replaced King with Joker, Queen with Harley Quinn, and Terry with his predecessor. So there you go for that one. Queen's first name is revealed to be Donna, which is the Italian word for the queen of the deck of cards. Both Terry and Bruce make references to having an ace in the hole. Terry referenced to Ace the robot attacking him before the meeting, and Bruce in reference to Ace the dog attacking King in Surprise. Interestingly, Ace in the Hole is also the name of the previous episode. Yep. Absolutely love this. And what is really cool is the quote between Bruce and Terry. Bruce is like, "What kept you?" "They had an ace in the hole. Luckily, so did I." So, absolutely love that. Any other thoughts from you?
I don't mind I know I've been such a downer on Batman Beyond, but it'll change next episode, I promise. I'm glad to see Paxton go away. I hated the Powers family. on Batman
you
Beyond. Dipshit.
I was going to say, you might want to rephrase that.
I realized it. No, I meant like Paxton and
Derek.
Dwight.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's nice to see things kind of evolve somewhat. I'm not a fan of the Royal Flush Gang, and actually the first time I heard of them was Epilogue. Even though it's a completely different Royal Flush Gang. Yeah. But I've never cared for that crew of villains. Mm-hmm. To me, they're like as throwaway as the Jokers to some degree.
Well, I don't know,
but they hold up better than, you know, some of the villains that have shown up for one shots anyway.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing with the Royal Flush Gang is it sets up something from Bruce's past that he had dealt with them in the past, although these are, you know, these ones that Terry's facing are different. You know, it does set that up. I do like how they have 10 and Terry, or 10 and Batman, kind of be what Bruce and Selina used to be. I gotta look back in my Batman Beyond 2.0 comics and see if Terry actually, like, if she knows. Like, I know Dana finds out. I know that. But I got to find out if Melanie ever knew past the cartoon series. So, you know, I do like that. And the Jokers, yeah, I mean, they have various versions of, you know, various characters, and they're all very different, and they're all really cool, but it was either that or just bring the Joker back himself, and we would have thought that was just trying to, you know, rehash old fame. Yeah. So we got to do something to keep it fresh, I guess. I think that's it for this one.
I think so too. So, I think we'll come back after a commercial break and round out our top five.
Grab your helmets, because it's time to assemble Mask. Mask Mayhem is here with your hosts, TFG and Mike, Optimus Solo, and brand new host, Toon Master Tim. This podcast, covering all 75 episodes of Mask, will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talking the toys, and more. Mask Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. So get your spectrums ready, as podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
By the power of Grayskull, I command the Jawbridge. Open!
Yes, that's right. We have traveled to Eternia to enter Castle Grayskull. Join Optimus Solo and TFG and Mike as they find themselves telling tales of Eternia. We cover all things He-Man in this 45-episode-long podcast. You can find us on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. By the power of Grayskull, we all have the power.
Hello, geeks. Want a podcast that covers a vast array of topics with no rhyme or reason? Then check out Altered Geek Unlimited, where the topics fly more or less off the cuff. We cover media news, TV, our favorite geek products, and of course, your feedback. So get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
And we're back. So, what are your top five?
Payback's at the bottom because it's just too standard for me. Centuries in the Last Cosmos, I do like it. I think it's a really cool episode, but it's not my favorite of the day. Then King's Ransom, and then Where's Terry, and number one, Ace in the Hole.
I would do the same order other than the top two, the Where's Terry and Ace in the Hole.
You'd flip-flop them.
Yeah, I like the whole dog aspect, but I like seeing Bruce come out of his cave and go on the adventure and the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And then having to deal with somebody that's completely raw.
Yeah.
So. And that rounds out this episode. Not very many of them left to go.
Nope. We've got five left.
Crazy, crazy. Yep. How long until we're done with the episodes?
That will be 37.
37. And then we get to go to just...
Return of the Joker and epilogue.
Yes. And then the true epilogue.
What?
The epilogue of the series.
That's, yeah. That's Return of the Joker and epilogue.
No, man, of this series. The podcast.
Oh, no, that's... No. Return of the Joker and epilogue is 38. 39...
No, I was saying that the episode will be over at 40.
Oh,
the epilogue,
right.
Yeah, of okay. The podcast.
Okay, yeah.
Bad joke.
Very.
Yes. So, thank you for listening to Legends of the Dark Knight. You can get a hold of us in the following ways. You can reach us on the website, geekcastradio.com. You can follow us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. You can rate our show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. You can get a hold of us on Twitter at SCP21 and yours, sir?
At TFG and Mike.
And what are the next five episodes?
Because you don't have the schedule in front of you.
I don't care.
Stop it. In episode 35, we've got Untouchable, Inkling, Big Time, Out of the Past, and Speak No Evil.
Okay, I do care.
See? Told you.
Good episodes. Sure. Good episodes. So, until next time, I am done.
Okay, Jack, you're out of here.
What?
Someone made your bail.
Melanie.
I made a lot of salads to pay for this.
You shouldn't have.
Hey, we're family, okay? I got a job for you. A real job. That is, if you don't mind washing dishes.
Are you kidding? I was the best dishwasher in Juvie Hall.
killed Bruce Wayne? They're lying, I tell you. Bruce Wayne's my mentor. He's like a father to me.
Except he doesn't glow in the dark.
Hey, I resent that. Where's my lawyer? I'll sue. I'll own this place when I'm done
with you. Let's get out of here.